This is an interview on 28th of February 2018 with Grant Smith, Mayor of Palmerston North. The interviewer is Maria Shiva. The interview is being recorded in the Palmerston North City Council building on a Sunny IC recorder. Before we go any further, I want to confirm that you understand that this material is being recorded for archival purpose, primarily for Manawatu Heritage, and will be held at the Ian Matheson City Archives. Access to and use of your interview will be subject to the conditions agreed by you in the recording agreement that we will sign at the end. Are you happy about that and willing to continue?
Yes.
Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. I know that you've had, over many years, strong involvement in a number of areas, but today we're talking to you about your early life. So where and when were you born?
So I was born in Palmerston North, so I'm very much born and bred in the Manawatu Wairarapa area. I was born on the 14th of June 1966, my mother and father my grandparents were of Scottish and Irish descent. My father, Robert Anthony Smith, he's known as Tony, in early days owned several four square stores around Blenheim and Taradale before he got married, and then he went into the Social Security, and then from there that transposed into social work. So Dad moved around a little bit around the Manawatu, Whanganui, Wairarapa. So I lived in my early years, Palmerston North, Whanganui, back to Palmerston North, to Masterton, back to Palmerston North. So my mother, Bernadette Savage, the Savage family were big farmers in the Wairarapa, on the coast of the Wairarapa, and big sheep stations. And Dad and Mum met in Napier, where Mum was doing her nursing training. So that's how that all got connected. Mum continued with her nursing career after all the kids came along. And I have two sisters, Sarah, two younger sisters, Sarah, and an even younger sister, Louisa. So they're both in their 40s now. And with families and kids, etc. So, and they live here in Palmerston North too. Louisa moved to Wellington for a little while, but has moved back to Palmerston North. So I went to school, my first primary school days in the early 1970s was West End School, and stayed there for a couple of years, and then obviously the family moved to Masterton with Dad's job. We enrolled at Cornwall Street School, and with some sadness when I went back to a visit to Masterton just recently, I found out Cornwall Street School had been closed. So I suppose that's the falling roles of some smaller towns. But it was a great school, really enjoyed it. It was just a normal town school, three classrooms, a good array of kids, mixture of backgrounds from all socio-economic parts of Masterton community, and you got brought up in a pretty good community. Walked to school. We lived about a couple of k's down the road, and walked again. And there was no dropping off in cars and all that sort of thing. So then when we got a bit older, we biked. So it was a pretty cool place to be brought up. Went to Masterton Intermediate, and again that was within sort of a couple of k's, and that was a very interesting school too. It had its own farm, so right in the middle of Masterton, its own little farm. So we learnt a lot of agricultural stuff, more than perhaps city folk would, or city kids would experience. I then went to secondary school, progressed on to Wairarapa College, and an outstanding school. Still love it. Went back for its reunions, and still, walked back in the school gates and felt really good. The school, it was a co-ed school, and it had a boarding facility there, College House. It took a lot of the, Wairarapa farming folk and a little bit further afield that would send their kids there. It had a proud history, the likes of Sir Brian Lahore were very much ingrained in the school, and I think while I was there, Sir Brian, I think, actually coached the first 15. So they had a strong school community. I was very happy in Masterton, and then Dad came home one night and said, "Oh, right, we're moving. We're going to Palmerston North." Now, that was nothing wrong with going to Palmerston North. My grandparents, since they'd sold the sheep farm and station, they'd moved to Palmerston North, so we were used to coming back and forth to Palmerston North for seeing my grandparents. Ironically, they lived right down in Victoria Avenue, very close to Victoria Avenue, Broadway Ave, so they had one of those big old houses there. So we spent a lot of time there, actually. My aunties were, or one of my aunties was here too, so we saw, we came to Palmerston North a lot. So coming to Palmerston wasn't a biggie, but I left a co-ed school and came to Palmerston North thinking I was going to another co-ed school, and I can remember the day they said to me, "There's your uniform, you're going to Palmerston North." I missed the boys' high school, so I thought it was Palmerston North High School. So I went along in the first day, and again, great era of growing up. I just walked along, no introductions, just went in. I'd obviously been enrolled. First thing I noticed, which was a bit strange, was everyone was calling each other sir, yes sir, and then I'm looking around thinking, the girls must be in a separate place. Then I figured out it was Palmerston North Boys High School. So I was being about 16 years of age, I came back home to Mum and Dad and I said, "You sold me a good one there, there's no girls at the school." So anyway, it was, again, I loved Palmerston North Boys High. It was a great school and it had a very strong tradition, quite disciplined. Not that Wairarapa College wasn't. I think for co-ed school, Wairarapa College had strong disciplines around uniforms, standards. You couldn't disciplines, if you're out of line, you stood out. Whereas in today's environment, unfortunately, those things have slipped. Palmerston Boys High was strong on its academia. There was a growing music sense while I was there, and they were looking at building more resources up in music, but very strong in sport. In fact, one of the country's strongest boys' schools in sport. So I liked my sport, so I really enjoyed it. And I spent my final 2 years there at Palmerston North Boys High. But I had a great early life in Palmerston North. Palmerston North was in Masterton. I experienced good years in Masterton. There was a good middle class in Masterton. It changed a little bit after we left, but went through some doldrums. But Palmerston North, in those times was it was a great place to be brought up in a young family.
So I understand that your first school was West End School. What can you remember about going to West End School?
We lived in Kingston Street, and I can remember walking down College Street with Mum for the first day, and all I can remember is this building, and it was the dental clinic. It's a dental, and it's still there on the corner, right on the corner of Botanical Road and College Street, and going in, and in those days we were in a big open plan classroom, and it was probably quite revolutionary in those days. We had four classes and probably about 70 to 80 kids in this big open, there was four teachers or five teachers. So that was my early days. Can't remember a huge amount more other than they had a good swimming pool, the playground was pretty cool, and the name West End. So, with a black and white sort of shielded logo crest for the school.
So, when you moved to Palmerston North, when you moved to Masterton, you visited Palmerston North quite a lot. What can you remember doing on your visits?
We go to our grandparents a lot, and as I said, they were right in the CBD virtually. They're probably the closest house, in all honesty, to Broadway. Right on the corner, or not right on the corner, but right next to Victoria Avenue and Broadway. So we'd wander into town a lot, and you know, when you think about it, young kids walking around town, there was no security issues. I mean, it was good. We used to wander down Broadway, because Broadway was like one of the retail strips of the Lower North Island. So it was Palmerston's version of Lambton Quay. So, you know, we'd go down and we're amazed, all these big shops. And Mum, when we came back to Palmerston North, Mum actually got a job with Connison and Cunningham. So she sort of left nursing for a while and went into the Connison and Cunningham department store. So, you know, even when we were visiting my grandparents, we'd often go into Connison and Cunningham's, because that was a big store. Lots of different departments, and it had an escalator, and you'd ride up and down the escalator, and it had a lift, an old style lift, and of course it had Santa's Cave. Yes. So we experienced all that stuff as young kids, and even when we moved back, I was terribly saddened when Connison and Cunningham closed down, because it was a bit of history that just disappeared, really, and it was just a bit unfortunate, because it was an icon, even in a Lower North Island sense. Yeah, look, we cycled everywhere as well, so it was a great town. We'd go to Memorial Park. I can remember we'd go to the swimming pool there, and we'd go to the Esplanade if we were lucky enough to get across that side of town.
The Lido was open at that time. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember the Lido. Yep, definitely the Lido. Trying to jump off the top diving board, which was huge in those days. You look at it now and you think it was very scary for a little kid to go off the top board at the diving pool. But Palmerston North was blessed with lots of outdoor things. And I can always remember it being quite hot. And not that it isn't now. In fact, we've just had our hottest summer ever. But, you know, it was as a young kid, it was consistently hot.
Strange you say that, because that's my memory of growing up as well, that it was consistently hot in summer. Okay, so we were just talking about Milson Airport. What can you remember about that?
So like most young New Zealanders at that time, air travel was in its infancy. I mean, it was only for a select few. So as a child, I can never recall going on an aeroplane until I was... in my teens, I believe, but my grandparents went to Australia once. It seemed like they'd gone around the earth, and I remember we went out to Milson Airport and that little old terminal they used to have, and welcomed them off a Boeing, teal Boeing plane, and I can remember it was all quite shiny and with green and teal colours and everything. So that's my first memories of Milson, and obviously as years have gone on, I've travelled a lot with work, sport, and obviously in this role as well. So I'm a regular at the airport now, but I've seen it go through the stages of its development, and obviously the new terminal, the jets come and go, the jets return with air freight and obviously Air New Zealand's been the only consistent one there. But I suppose the interesting thing is that airport has been quite an unsung hero in the development of Palmerston North, because it was one of the first commercial flights actually went from Palmerston North south and to Dunedin, I think. And it was the head of Union Airways.
Yes.
And of course Union Airways was the forerunner for Teal and then NAC, and then of course Air New Zealand. So I can recall when I went to the Air New Zealand's, I was invited along with all the other mayors in New Zealand to go to the opening of Air New Zealand's 75th celebration and exhibition at the Auckland War Memorial, and they had a wall there where they asked all the mayors to write a little comment, and I went round the exhibition and I found a very small and a couple of photos dedicated around Union Airways, and I'd always known that Union Palmerston North was the home office and airport for Union Airways, but it you know, it didn't really get much mention. I saw it there in the Air New Zealand exhibition, so when it came time to write my little comment, I went, Palmerston North, home to Union Airways, you know, the forerunner to Air New Zealand. All flights lead to Palmerston North. So the CEO, Christopher Luxon, found that quite funny, but also showed that the role that we played in aeronautical travel and movements around New Zealand.
Few other places in Palmerston North, the square.
The square, I can remember, and I was one of those kids that would ride from Boys High down Rangitiki Street, right, a big posse, like a big swarm of bees coming down the road, and we'd scoot through the square as a shortcut. And I actually used to scoot through the city council basement car park as well. And I can remember one time I scooted through there, and I've still got the scar to prove it. I came out the other side onto the Church Street side, and there was a bit of wire that had been put there for some trees or something to grow up, and I didn't see it, and I went straight into it and cut myself on the side there, and had to get a couple of stitches. But anyway, it was my fault because I was trying to shortcut the system. But that was, you know, the square was, it wasn't as open as it is now, so it was quite closed off, and it was quite segmented with, and of course when the City Heart upgrade was done, which was basically around the square, it opened it up a lot more. It just didn't seem to be as inviting or as open in those days. It was still a good place, and of course it had the sound shell, so it was quite sectionalised off, so I'll be honest, I didn't spend a huge amount of time in the square. More time in Broadway,
yes.
And PDC was, you know, on the other side. I can recall going to the PDC tea rooms up the top with my nana and mum, and looking back out over the square. That was quite, and again, it had an escalator. You know, as a little kid, escalators were like, wow, they've got an escalator, you know. It was quite a cool thing. It was like the country kid coming to town. And DIC, the tea rooms at DIC, and they were quite flash actually, and they faced out on Coleman Mall, and they were, in fact, DIC, when I came back, when I was working in Wellington, came back in the early 90s, DIC was still, from memory, was just, it was called Arthur Barnett's then, and it was just in its last years, and so the tea rooms around the town, you know, of course, my grandparents, obviously being older, would, you know, a morning tea or an afternoon tea or something, or a lunch, and taking the grandchildren, well, you were quite special. So it was an outing.
That's great. And the river. Did you swim in the river?
Yeah, we did. But it wasn't, again, it's the city really had turned its back to the river. So we would go down to down near Albert Street end there, or down to the Maxwell's Line end. But look, in all honesty, as I said, the city had turned its back to the river. We didn't have a lot. And we would jump in there. We'd often go to a Horseshoe Bend,
yes.
And swim there, or out at Ashurst. My auntie and uncle, they had a farm out near Ashurst, so we'd, more often than not, we'd go out around Ashurst. So yeah, we used to swim a lot in the river, but it's, to me, it's more accessible now, and of course we're obviously trying to improve the health of the river, and it's good to see that that's starting to happen. So yeah, my memories of the river are more not within the city itself, but sort of just a little bit further outside the city.
And vehicles, what type of vehicles do you have in your zone?
When I was young, we cycled everywhere. You know, it was Masterton and Palmerston North were pretty good for cycling. When I look back at where I used to cycle, I think, jeepers. You know, we moved to Masterton because mum and dad sold the house, and they were probably readying themselves for a move. So we rented a house way up the other end of Masterton and Lansdowne. And if you sort of understand, it'd be like living at Milson and going to Massey University, you had to, you know, cycle right across the city or the town and back again. And of course, I used to do paper runs as well. So at one stage there, I was doing the Dominion, and I was doing the Wairarapa Times Age as well. So I was pretty busy, as fitting school and sport and everything else. And when I came to Palmerston North, I did a milk round, and I tell you what, it was a great way of keeping fit. And I did the biggest run in Palmerston North. I did all of Terrace End. So I used to deliver the milk bottles, and I loved it. It was a great job. I remember my old boss, Barney Conlon. He's a good Irishman, Catholic Irishman, and he was tough, really tough. And he'd ring me up and go, "You forgot to deliver the milk to such and such in Ruahini Street." And then he'd hang up. That's great encouragement. But no, Barney was tough, but he was fair, and he'd have a spare bottle of orange juice at the end. And my gosh, that lasted about 2 seconds, and it was down the gullet. But I really enjoyed it. Yeah, in terms of cars, Mum and Dad, I suppose in those days it was quite unusual. We bought a couple of new cars, but Mum and Dad say, I mean, we weren't wealthy. We were just a normal middle class family, but they'd saved up and they bought a Datsun Sunny. And I can remember the Datsun Sunny, and it was an orange one, and I look back on it now. But that was what everybody, you know, drove in those days. And I can vaguely recall carless days, and I can remember when we were in Kingston. Yeah, it was in Kingston Street, and we sold the Datsun Sunny, and somebody came around. Something was wrong with the seat. And there was a little bit of firewood or something under the seat. And I remember when Dad was trying to sell the car, the bit of firewood fell out. And there was a bit of a commotion about the seat's okay. And I sort of laughed, and I must have said something which wasn't the right thing to say when you're trying to sell the car. And I got ridiculed when I got told off when I got back inside not to say anything and be seen and not heard. So I must have let the cat out of the bag that the seat wasn't that good. But anyway, they had a Datsun Sunny, and then they bought, they were an early adopter of the Honda. So they had Honda Civics, and they sort of had two or three of those. And they were good cars, good reliable cars. Can always remember tripping around in a Honda Civic. But yeah, so that was my grandparents loved their cars. My grandfather, I mean, being Savage, they're actually related to Michael Joseph Savage way back. But they loved their cars. They had Worsleys. And my grandfather used to get absolutely ropeable. And we always feared him a little bit because he did have a bit of an Irish temper. And if us kids, grandkids, we'd be playing with the electric windows. And of course, when he wanted to use the car, the battery was flat. So we were often not allowed to go near the car unless we were with my grandfather. So, yeah, remember cars, but they were really just to get us from A to B.
You mentioned that you played quite a lot of sports. I'm assuming you would have played in the boys' high fields, but do you remember other sports fields that you played on?
Yeah, so Palmy Boys. I played rugby in Wairarapa and made a rep squad there, and the Wairarapa were quite strong, actually. I then started to take up, I always loved tennis, and so I played tennis wherever I went. And of course, Palmerston North Boys High was a tennis mad school because the rector, Eric White, of the time, was former Davis Cup tennis player himself, and was sort of the team manager for a number of years. So I can remember Chalky, as he was known. We were in one of my final years. We played Auckland Grammar, and Auckland Grammar dominated, and they had basically the New Zealand junior tennis team amongst their ranks. And I remember we beat them one year in a totally out of the blue fixture. And we were probably one of the stronger teams in New Zealand. We were pretty lucky. We had a couple of really good players. David Anderson was one. Simon Dickey was another. And we beat Auckland Grammar in a bit of a fluke, but on our grounds here, and I've never seen Eric White so happy. And I was packing up my bag after a match, and he came over and congratulated us, and I said, "Sorry, sir, I've just got to get back to class." And I can remember him going, "Smith, don't worry about it. Have the day off. Have the week off. We've just beaten Auckland." So he was rapt. So tennis was big. I got into squash as well, and at the tail end of Masterton there, when I left Masterton, and I really enjoyed it. Palmerston North had a great squash culture and clubs here, so the main club being in Linton Street. So I took the game up, and that was my main sport. So rugby went on the outside. I played a little bit of football because I was very fit, and being a young boy, you sort of play everything, really. Did a bit of running. I can always remember the school cross country out near the back of a cow tree there and going through all the mud and everything else. But look, I enjoyed all that. A bit of cricket, although I didn't play in any of the boys' high cricket teams. But boys' high was extremely strong at all those sports. So even if you played in the second or thirds, you're playing in some pretty good teams. But the firsts were, you know, I mean, you look at some of the boys' high players that have gone on, you know, there was Matthew Sinclair, Ross Taylor, Jacob Oram. I mean, all of those, they were later on than me, but I was in some years where it was not unknown to have a possible All Black at school, you know. That's how strong sport was. So sporting facilities around the place. Arena was around, or what was the Manawatu Showgrounds, or Palmerston Showgrounds in those days. Memorial Park, I can recall, you know, big soccer games down at Memorial Park, football games as it's now called. Tennis, Manawatu Lawn Tennis Club and Vortier Park for tennis with Marist. I played a little bit for Marist. Sport was, again, had real strong, great city for sport, Palmerston North, and really, really good facilities.
Sure. I'm just wondering if there's anyone who stands out as a role model or someone who impacted on your life at that time, a teacher or a person in the community?
In those days, I suppose you're influenced by some of your teachers. I mean, Palmerston Boys had quite a strict, but I mean, the teachers were, you know, I look back on it all now, and there were some pretty cool teachers. I mean, I always liked Eric White, the rector, but it's interesting, he was a bit of a figurehead in that school, and the real work was done by Ian Calhoun and Ian Brookie. And when I look back on it, they were quite funny men. I remember going back to the centenary, and Brookie, as he was called, got up and did the assembly. Well, he had people in almost tears of laughter, you know. He was so funny. But he really ran the school as sort of the senior master. Deputy rector was Ian Calhoun, or Coke, and all he was interested in was sport, really. And I mean, he was in his former, he's a cricketer and big time rugby coach. I can remember we had Mossy Colotto in my class, and Mossy Colotto went on to be New Zealand Rugby League player and also and played in a lot of very, very good Manawatu rugby teams. So he was in my class, big island boy, and he got UE accredited, and he was in my science class, and he never went once. And I sort of poked my head above the parapet and said, "Well, sir," this is to Ian Calhoun, "sir, why is that happening?" And I was told in no uncertain terms to keep my mouth shut. So those were quite legendary figures. Willie Doherty was my art teacher. And Mr. Doherty's still at Boys High, or maybe just on the retirement end now. I opened the new art block there last year, and it was quite an honour to do that because I remember when I was a pupil in Mr. Doherty's first class. So it was quite good. And so he sort of got me into art, and of course that was my career in advertising and design. So Mr. Doherty he'd be up there. Interestingly enough, another chap, his son's a radio announcer, a DJ here in town, Gareth Pringle on Moore FM. His father, Bob Pringle, was one of my teachers in Masterton, and I still bump into Bob because he's good friends of my father occasionally, and he lives down in the South Island now. But yeah, Bob was, he was quite very strict, but again, fair, and helped form me who I am now. So yeah, other role models, look, as a young boy you look to sport and that sort of thing, and also the Sir Edmund Hillarys and all those sort of people, but in those days sport was a big part of my life, so I looked to sports people of that day, whether they be a cricketer, a rugby player, a top tennis player. There's many of them.
Great. Now, just thinking back to the story about riding the bike under the basement of the City Council building, you're now working in this building and you're mayor.
Yeah.
Did you ever think this would be where you'd end up?
Even 3 years ago, if you'd said this, I wouldn't have thought this. But no, look, it's interesting. And for whatever people say about this building, it has absolutely stood the test of time pretty well. It's debatably ugly on the outside, and I'm sure we can do a little bit more to improve that, but it's actually a very functional building. And when I first became mayor, because I had very little induction as for the mayor, I probably wasn't everybody's first choice, so I got 30 minutes induction by the staff, and then the door was shut. So I'm thinking, right, how do you do this job? So there was no guidebook, no rule book. So I rang up a couple of people that I thought might be able to help me, and people that I respected, and that was Sir Brian Elwood and Paul Rieger. And they were two mayors that I thought had done a heck of a lot for the city of Palmerston North during their 10 years. So I got a hold of Sir Brian and had lunch with him, and he told me the history of this building, and it was really interesting. He was in an era where Palmerston North was growing like topsy, and there was some issues, and he got in on a transport sort of issue around a big new road that was going to cut Hokafa in half, the city had a strong Labour roots as well, with Gordon Brown and Trevor DeClean and a few others in the council at the time. So there was some real strong people here. There was another chap called Pat Hancock. Now, Pat actually ended up being quite a good colleague of Dad, so I could sort of see both sides. But I remember Sir Brian saying Pat was dead set against this building. But he said, keep your enemies close, and he and Pat used to square off against each other. But in the end, he made Pat the chair of the building committee. Well, Pat just then became, instead of throwing stones, became an advocate and really drove the project. And we, we are left with a pretty good building. I think it's got very good bones. We've just been doing the earthquake strengthening of it at the moment, and it's pretty minimal compared to how big it is. And the floor plates and everything allow it to be modernised at different stages of its life. So for a nearly 40-year-old building, it's got good bones, and I enjoy working in here.
That's great. Well, I think we'll leave it there today. Thank you very much.
Excellent.